knows enough. A flame could melt almost anything. A shopping mall, some kerosene. I light the shoes, 'cause I've seen everything. Like a murderer saying lonely things. A flame come out.
Better known as Erin Darling, class of 2003. And this is Eating Upstate on WONY. Coming up, I'll be highlighting two local restaurants, Brushland Eating House, located in Bovina, and Tiny's at the Hamden General Store, located in Hamden. Once again, you're listening to WONY 90.9 FM, Oneonta. The following originally aired on April 30th, 2022, on WJFF Radio Catskills program, Radio Chatskill. Since this segment first aired, Sohail was nominated for a Best Chef in New York State by the James Beard Foundation in 2023. Sohail told the Oneonta Daily Star, quote, "It puts a stronger wind in your sails, knowing that the thing you love doing is appreciated. We know that opening our restaurant, spending so much of our time there, is really a good use of our energy and creativity. But a James Beard Award nomination is a sweet affirmation of that." Brushland Eating House is located at 1927 County Highway 6 in Bovina. To learn more about making a reservation, please visit brushlandeatinghouse.com. Tiny's at the Hamden General Store is located at 35796 State Route 10 in Hamden. You've been listening to Eating Upstate on WONY. This is Erin Shear, class of 2003. I hope you enjoyed today's program, and I hope to be back soon with more segments profiling the cutting edge of food culture in the Western Catskills. This is WONY 90.9 FM. Keep it locked.
Hello. The Shot Diet. Yeah, I'm David. Logan sadly is not here. I decided to take a little vacation early. Went home for Easter. But you know, still here. Got a lot to talk about. Got a lot of coaching stuff, front office stuff. The playoffs start tomorrow. Yeah, you know, NBA never takes a day off, but since it's just me, we're gonna do some things different, and we're gonna start off with a song.
She said, "Take your time, what's the rush?" I said, "Baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt." She said, "Take your time, what's the rush?" I said, "Baby, I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I'm a dog, I'm a mutt. I can smoke already, so She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm on my. She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm on my. I'm a dog, I'm on my. No crib talk will come through, it's time to break it in. Breaking in. New condo, say your name at the front. You can stay if you want. It's been one of those nights, one of those nights I ain't had in a minute. It's been a minute, had to pop a shoe to recreate the feeling. But it's never the same as the first time we did it. First time we did it. But I let my guard down for you. Said I'll put my guard down for you. So you can break my heart if you want to. She said, take your time, what's the rush?
Take your time, what's the rush?
I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm on my. She said, take your time, what's the rush? I said, baby, I'm a dog, I'm on my. I'm a dog, I'm on my.
That was Leon Thomas, Mutt. Again, just me today. Logan said he might call in. I don't know when that's gonna be. But since I have Thor, we're gonna talk about, what should we talk about? We're gonna talk about the Portland Trailblazers. Because they have been doing a lot of front office moves lately. They re-signed their GM, Joe Cronin. They re-signed their coach, Chauncey Billups. And I'm not sure how I feel about it. On the GM front, he's drafted pretty well. We'll see. We'll see how I feel about the Dame trade. I mean, I guess he did the best he could with what he had. Kind of glad that he just didn't take whatever offer from the Heat. He waited for the best move, I guess. Getting a Tumani Kamara was a plus. Kind of like the best player in that DeAndre Ayton trade. Or whenever he received Tumani Kamara. In the Damian Lillard trade, excuse me. So he's done some good things. Does have a few not so good contracts on the team, which he's kind of been like the main suspect in. So it's gonna be interesting to see what he does on that front. But in terms of getting a good like young talent, Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Tumani Kamara, Donovan Cliggins been off and on year, really good defensively, especially like rim protecting. The other parts of his game needs to like kind of round out. Oh my goodness, this is Logan. Hold on.
I don't know why it's not making noise.
Speak. Are you speaking?
Can I think?
Oh. Okay, speak now. Are you on air? Okay, there's still some technical difficulties, but Yeah, as for the Blazers, as for the Chauncey Billups part, I'm not sure if that was like a great move, because I just think it was kind of rushed. I don't think they really should have re-signed him so quickly. Slight pause. I need to work out some technical difficulties because Logan's on the line, but I'll be back. Okay, we're back. Logan should be on air now. Logan, are you on air? Okay, we're still working out the details with that. But as for the Chauncey Billups thing, I don't know. It was just rushed. I feel like there was better candidates. And I don't really think they should have. I don't know. If you were just going to re-sign him, I feel like you should have waited until the summer, because there's a lot of good, really good candidates out there. But I don't know. I guess we'll see if it works out. They did win 35 games. The defense really picked up over the second half of the year. And yeah, go ahead now. All right, there's still some technical difficulties right here, but yeah, I just don't know if that was the right choice. But we're going to take another mini break, and we'll be back for real this time. All right, welcome. We're going to try this one more time. So, Logan, are you on the mic?
Hello, hello.
You.
Hello. Hello, hello. Dude, what is happening? I'm so confused.
Hello.
Hello.
There was some technical difficulties, but I think we're back now.
I wonder why. Hello? Dave. Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Yo.
I can't hear a single word you're saying.
Hello? Hello. Yeah, I can't hear you, too. David, talk.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of technical difficulties going on right now. Logan's trying to call in. I can't hear him. I feel like
people, hello.
Other people can hear him, but I can't hear him.
Hello?
So.
All night.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I can't hear him. So, yeah, I don't think. I don't know. I don't know.
Wait.
But I guess that means we're talking about the playoffs. Because
Logan's not really.
But we're gonna play a song and we're gonna come back.
When they live on.
Let's try this again. Okay, guys. Let's try this again. Shot diet. Logan's not here. We tried to call in. It didn't work. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Still a lot to talk about. What was I talking about? Chauncey Billups got re-signed. Not really wasn't messing with it. I feel like they could have had better candidates, but they liked the continuity, so they stuck with Chauncey Billups. Yeah. So the playoffs is tomorrow. And there is a lot of really good matchups. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way, and he's going to text me what he thinks. And I'll just relay information. But for me, I think there's a lot of interesting matchups in the playoffs, in the first round of the playoffs this year. And I'm trying to figure out, it's probably the Clippers Nuggets that I'm most intrigued by, just because the Nuggets, okay, one, a lot of people aren't picking the Nuggets to win. It's kind of crazy because they do have, you know, reigning MVP, however many times MVP, Nikola Jokic. So, like, that's an interesting pick to go pick the Clippers, but the Clippers are just that good. They've been that good for the last 5 weeks, playing like a contender. James Harden is probably going to make an All-NBA. Kawhi Leonard has been playing like Kawhi Leonard for at least the last 20 games, and Zubac might sneak his way on an All-NBA team. I'm not going to say sneak. That sounds a little mean, but he's been a really, really good center for the last, honestly, the whole year. It's probably my revised pick for most improved. So it's going to be interesting to see that series. Going to be cool to see how they play each other. And honestly, my biggest question is the center play. Like, what are they going to do in the non-Zubats and Jokic minutes? Because on the Jokic end, the shot creation is a little rough, outside of Jokic, because Jamal Murray, don't know if he's 100%, and then relying on Michael Porter and Westbrook, Aaron Gordon, a lot of those guys aren't like the best on-ball creators. So it's just like, where is this offense going to be? Because Jokic can't do everything. He can try, and he's done a pretty decent job of it this year, but he can't do everything. Especially not for 40 minutes, because on a defensive end, Jokic is not like a crazy thing to say. Jokic is like a bad defender, which is kind of like not a good sign, because the Clippers run a lot of pick and rolls, because, you know, James Harden is their point guard, and Zubac, that's been one of the best pick and roll duels all year. So it's like, what is Jokic gonna do? Because he can't really take like a couple plays off, because he's going to be in every play. I guess you have him at the level of the screen and hope for the best. But he's going to have to put some real effort on that end, because if he's just going to be a revolving door, then he's going to be a revolving door, and the Clippers are going to score a lot of points. And then Jokic being a revolving door leads to a lot of corner threes, and depending on who they have on the floor, which is either Kawhi or Derrick Jones Jr. has been hitting threes. Norman Powell was in the running for most improved. He's walking 20 points a game. Might be a little rough from here to there, here and there. So that's something I'm watching. And then on the Zubats front, they don't really have another center at all. So he's going to be playing a lot of minutes. Ben Simmons he's been kind of a mixed bag since he's been a Clipper. But a lot of that mixed bag hasn't been too good. So that's something I'm watching. As for the Clippers, offensively, ball movement, they run a lot of ISO ball. So it's all about getting quality shots and getting open looks, especially from three. Because if they can just outshoot the Nuggets, then, you know, it's going to be I'm not going to say a short series, but it's going to be a tough thing for the Nuggets to overcome, especially when you talk about the Clippers defense. Can't believe it took me this long. They have a lot of guys to just throw at Jamal Murray, who is kind of the X factor in the series in general. If Jamal Murray averages 23 or 25 points or just whatever top tier playoff Jamal Murray numbers that we've seen in a couple postseasons past, then that's when the Nuggets kind of become hard to beat, because then now you can like rest Jokic for like 8 to 10 minutes a game. But it's kind of tough because, as I mentioned, Murray isn't healthy or isn't fully healthy. And the Clippers have a lot of guys to throw at him. Chris Dunn, who probably would have made an all-defensive team if it wasn't for like the kind of like the flimsy all-defense requirements. Derrick Jones Jr., if you want to go with length. Kawhi Leonard, if you want to go with length. Just a lot of guys. And you can even throw Nicholas Batum if you want to get spicy. So a lot of dudes throw at Jamal Murray. And then on the Jokic, Zubac is going to get the assignment. He's going to try his best. But it's all about just limiting the other Nuggets players. And honestly, I'm not going to say that is an easy thing, but I feel like a lot of them are kind of responsible for some self-inflicted wounds. Don't mean to really throw my guy Westbrook under the bus, but he might be getting thrown under the bus here. So, series should be going to 7. Probably the Clippers, because I do think Nuggets are pretty good. Jokic is pretty good. But I do think there's a decent chance that the Clippers can end it earlier, because I'm not sure how motivated are the Nuggets, I feel like. Because it's just been a rough season of coaching firings, GM firings, injuries. So it's just, I don't know. My worry is like they get to game 4 down 3-1, or they get to game 5 down 3-1, and it's just like, all right, guys, well, second half, we're down by 10. You know what? Let's just mail it in. So that's something I'm a little bit worried about. But yeah, Clippers should be cool. We'll see how Kawhi Leonard plays. He's been really, really great. They can throw Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. Maybe Christian Brown gets a little bit of time on Kawhi, but I think Kawhi should be Kawhi Leonard. But should be an interesting series. That series should be pretty, should be a long series. And then as for the Warriors-Rockets, I'm leaning the Warriors, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as I originally thought. Because when the Warriors won in the play-in, or they beat the Grizzlies, which was a really good game, Warriors almost blew it, but they got it done. I was thinking, oh, okay, Rockets, they're going to get it done. Warriors are going against the Rockets. Warriors are going to get it done in 5 or whatever. But then it kind of just, as I've been really looking at the Rockets and locking in, the Warriors have some things to answer. Because I do think Rockets have a real size advantage, offensive rebounding advantage. Tari Eason, the Steven Adams, Sengun lineup has been really, really good. Like, ironically, Jabari Smith Jr. is there. And Thompson is there. So it's a lot of size. So even like I have my doubts about the Rockets' half court offense, I mean, if they're just gonna grab every rebound, they can probably survive them. They can probably survive missing a couple shots. So it should be. So that's a plus for the Rockets. As for things that I'm worried about for the Rockets, like if it's a tie game, who's taking the shot? And I'll wait for your answer, but I don't really know who's taking this shot for the Houston Rockets. Is it Jalen Green? Is it Sengun? Is it Fred VanVleet? Is it Fred VanVleet? A pick and roll pull up 3? Is it a Jalen Green step back 3? Is it a Sengun post up throw whatever hook shot over his right shoulder? I don't know. And that's kind of like a real concern that I have, because any confusion that the Rockets have on offense, I think the Warriors are really gonna like pick it out, because I just think they're just such a high IQ team with like Butler and Green and Draymond and Butler, Green, and Steph, and just, I mean, those three have a lot of playoff pedigree, but the others, Gary Payton does, so it should be interesting. But I don't know, I just have some real concerns about Rockets half-court offense. We'll see if Sengun can, like, draw some doubles when Draymond's not guarding him. Because Draymond's not guarding him, they will double. So I guess that's, like, your pathway to getting good shots from three. Rockets do need to hit some threes. And then, so I'm concerned about that. But, yeah, it's just who steps up for the Rockets. They kind of need one of them to just be an efficient bucket getter of the series. As for the Warriors' concerns, I talked about other size. Kind of have concerns about their shooting, because there are a lot of times that they run out Jimmy Butler, Gary Payton, Draymond at the same time, and none of them are really shooters. Like, Jimmy Butler can hit some threes from now and then. Draymond is going to take some threes, or at least he has been lately. But if those guys aren't hitting threes, then it kind of just turns into just Steph being the only, like, shooter, and hope that Brandon Podziemski can hit some threes, which he has been as of late. So shooting, spacing, the non, like, Butler Curry shots, because they don't really have a third scorer. It's kind of just like the Podziemski. If Podziemski can step in and average like 14 points, then okay. But is it going to be an efficient 14 points? Are these points going to be at the right time? Some questions. So yes, I think the Warriors, they have a little bit of, I'm not sure who has more margin of error. Probably the Warriors, because, like, a larger, because they do have Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry will bail them out of a lot of, like, weird offensive possessions. Like the crunch time stuff I just mentioned, Steph is going to bail them out. And then Jimmy Butler is Jimmy Butler. They call playoff Jimmy all the time. So, yeah. A lot of things to take. Guarding Steph is like Amen Thompson will probably get the Steph assignment. And I think that would be a tough assignment. Amen did give Steph some issues last time they played. But still, Steph Curry. Is Amen Thompson going to be disciplined, not getting in foul trouble? But the Rockets do have options. They have Dylan Brooks. They have, you could throw Tari Eason on him for a little bit. Could throw on Fred VanVleet. Because his screen navigation is still pretty good. So I think Steph is going to have, I don't want to say his work cut out for him, but it's not going to be like a fun, like, time trying to score on the Houston Rockets. But that's what you have Jimmy for. I think Jimmy Butler is going to be interesting to see how he gets his shots. I think to, like, get off of, like, an Amen Thompson or a Tari Eason, maybe use Jimmy as a screener. Have him go into the hoop 4-on-3 and see what happens. He can get fouled, kick it out to, and, like, cross your fingers that guys can hit open threes. But yeah, I think the Warriors keys to victory: keep it close, keep it in crunch time, do what you have to do in crunch time. Do your best to rebound the ball and do your best to force them into difficult shots, like a contested mid-ranger, and just try not to foul. Don't want to give, like, a not so great half court team easy shots. But we'll see, though. It's going to be a fun matchup. Should be a really fun matchup. Other things before I go on a bit of a little break. I don't know. We'll talk about some other playoff series when I come back.
Baby, they can't keep up. Whoever talk down on you, gotta speak up. You in your bag once again, you can't be touched. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. We can vacate when you're weak up, or we can slide when you want. The streets up, I wanna see your feet up. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. What's your move? I know you wanna rest, take a don't you? Girl, you wanna rest, take a don't you? Yeah. Baby, what's your move? Take a don't you? Yeah.
G5s, yeah, the jet. I can get you Birkins any size and Hermes. Diamond crosses on your chest now, cause you're blessed. Crying in a double R when you feel stressed. Knew you was a shooting star when I felt your breast. I didn't wanna get involved, cause I got a check. When you take your clothes off, you look the best. I can make it those off after sex. If you reckon, then the cash I blow. I can make some money, cause it's all I know. Put you in the gold yard, why sell coke? Promise I'ma go harder, hey, say no.
Don't cost a thing, I know that's nice. And we ain't got a name, no price. Okay. But you can have whatever you like, okay. Baby, they can't keep up. Whoever talk down on you, gotta speak up. You and your band, once again, you can't be touched. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. We can vacate when you're weak up. Or we can slide when you want. The streets up, I wanna see your feet up. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. What's your move? Now you wanna rest, take a don't you? Girl, you wanna rest, take a don't you? Yeah. Baby, what's your move? No price, cause you can have whatever you like, yeah. They say love don't cost a thing, I know that's nice. And we ain't got a name, no price, okay. But you can have whatever you like, oh. And you want your more, cause I can make room, okay. I can take it down on my tomb. Tell me if it's too soon, but what's your more? Is it Cancun? You know I take it there with you, take it well with you, baby. I ain't playing fair with you, no. Baby, they can't keep up. Whoever talk down on you, gotta speak up. You and your bag, once again, you can't be touched. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. We can vacate when you're weak up. Or we can slide when you want. The streets up, I wanna see your feet up. I got a bag, I can spin, it don't mean much. What's your move? Now you wanna rest, take a don't you? Girl, you wanna rest, take a don't you? Yeah. Baby, what's your move? Now you wanna rest, take a don't you? Girl, you wanna rest, take a don't you?
That was Blast, Risk Taker. Once again, just me today. Logan was on the bus. I think he's home. But yes, he went home for Easter. Shout out, Logan. Other series to talk about. Other fun series to talk about. Pacers Bucks should be a pretty cool one. Dame will be playing eventually. Missed game one, or he's gonna miss game one, probably game two. If I have to guess, he'll probably play in game three. But it's kind of tough not to pick the Pacers here, with just like the Dame injury question marks, and honestly just the Bucks haven't looked. They did finish the regular season on an 8-game winning streak, but I'd say as a whole for the last 20 to 25 games, or at least since the All-Star break, they haven't looked great. They look kind of the story of the Bucks for the last couple of years. They look pretty inconsistent. Bucks key to victory: slow the game down. Because if it's just a game where Tyrese Halliburton is just going to be hitting the paint and kicking out for open threes, and like the Pacers defense is really good, like limiting like the Bucks from like hitting threes, just making it tough on the offensive side, even like maybe even forcing like Giannis to turn the ball over a few times. But if it's no Damian Lillard, Kuzma, Brook Lopez, Kevin Porter Jr., they'll try their best, but I don't think it's going to be like a tough ask for the Pacers to just stop them from affecting the game too much. So yeah, it's all about the Bucks like slowing it down, And hoping they get Damian Lillard back. But I don't know, man, because the Pacers look really good. I think they can throw a lot of guys at Giannis. Aaron Nesmith, Jairus Walker, Pascal Siakam. I don't know. It's kind of like a tough ask for Giannis to just carry this team again on his back. Which, side note, if the Bucks lose, we'll see how the Giannis offseason things goes, because that might be a whole other thing. But yes, for the Pacers, if they can beat the Bucks zone, because the Bucks do play a lot of zone, especially against good offensive teams, and the Pacers are a good offensive team, probably top 10 in the last 30. I don't have it in front of me, but you can ballpark it around that, probably maybe even top 5. But the question is, besides guarding Siakam, because Siakam has been borderline an All-NBA player all year, but I think Giannis will get the assignment, and he'll do his best on that. The Tyrese Haliburton thing, I'm not sure how the Bucks are going to guard Tyrese Haliburton. I'm not sure if that's going to be in drop, because I don't feel good about Tyrese Haliburton pull-up threes, because he's not Fred VanVleet. He's Tyrese Haliburton, and he will make a good chunk of them. And if you're going to move Brook up, how close do you get to switching? Because I don't really feel good about Brook Lopez switching on Tyrese Haliburton at all either. So guarding the pick and roll for the Pacers, or guarding the Pacers on the pick and roll for the Bucks is going to kind of it's going to be a tall task. As for if Lillard does come back, he will kind of have his hands full with Andrew Nembhard, because he has been one of the better defenders in the league. So I think that's going to be something to watch, because Damian Lillard, not sure if he's 100% healthy. He's healthy enough. And I've seen a lot of things about, like, yeah, he's great. But, I mean, and I hope he is great. But he did have a blood clot, and he missed 3 weeks, and he's just going to get thrown into playoff basketball against one of the best teams in the league. So watching Dame's like health is a big thing. The Bucks bench is a question mark. Mentioned Kevin Porter, Jericho Sims. I don't know. Bobby Portis is back from his 25-game suspension, but, you know, don't know how good I feel about that. Don't know how good I feel about just the Bucks supporting cast in general. I feel much better about Miles Turner and Siakam and Nembhard. Maybe he turns on the playoff switch like he did last year. Yeah, think Pacers got this one. Barring any Bucks Cinderella run from three, I'd say. And the Pacers not hitting any threes. As for the Lakers Wolves series, that series should also be really fun. And it's kind of, it feels like there's going to be a lot of small ball, because the Lakers don't have a center. It's kind of just Jared Vanderbilt, or like at least center by committee, whether that's Rui Hachimura or Dorian Finney-Smith. So we'll see about that. But I think the Timberwolves are way more equipped to guard small ball than they were last year. Because last year it was Karl-Anthony Towns. You had to keep one of them on the floor usually, unless Cat was in foul trouble. But this year it's like Julius Randle. You still have Naz Reid and Jane McDaniels. So if they want to go Julius Randle at the center, and like Naz Reid, Jane McDaniels, I think that can hold up and be like quick enough on screens and like defending the fast break, so you don't feel like outmatched by the athleticism that the Lakers have. Concerns for the Wolves: the non-Anthony Edwards shots. Anthony Edwards will get doubled in this series. I know JJ Redick will not let him try to go for 30. He's going to mix it up. I think sometimes he'll just guard everybody else, let Anthony Edwards do his thing, and vice versa. So that kind of puts a lot on the plate of Julius Randle being the main decision maker, main ball handler. And I love Julius Randle. he has not been the most reliable option in the playoffs. Now, you can say this, like, injuries and stuff, and that has played a part. But he's healthy this year. And the Lakers will give him the ball. Like, they will let him get the ball for long stretches of time. So it's up to him of making quick decisions. It's all about process with Julius Randle. I've watched him play. Like, I've seen 90% of his games when he was on the Knicks for 4 years. Julius Randle's a good player. It's just if he's decisive and not turn the ball over and not taking contested mid-rangers, if he's getting to the hoop, forcing doubles, kicking it out, being quick, kicking it out of those doubles, then you can get good looks from their shooters, which is also a thing. Dante DiVincenzo is going to hit some threes. Nikhil Alexander has been hitting threes. Don't know about Mike Conley and how much time he gets, just because he's kind of starting to show his age this year. Well, he has shown his age this year. He can hit the three ball, but I just don't know how many minutes he's going to get to justify how much time he's going to have to play defense. So I do think Timberwolves do go with the Dante DiVincenzo, Nikhil Alexander, Anthony Edwards, insert whoever big man you want, because those lineups have been pretty good all year. And they have shot the ball pretty well, played defense pretty well. So you have options for the Timberwolves. Like, you don't need to put Rudy Gobert in situations, because if he's going to play drop all the time, they can just counter. And, like, if it's like a Luka and LeBron pick and roll every play, then can't really drop a lot. And I don't think you're really switching. So I think the minute the Lakers press that button and start just running a bunch of, like, Luka, LeBron pick and rolls, that's when you're going to have to, like, all right, Rudy Gobert, you're just going to have to sit on the bench for a little bit. So, yeah, that's something to watch for. But, again, they do have options. Timberwolves have options. So I don't really think Chris Finch can go in to this series and not make the right adjustments if Rudy Gobert doesn't play that well. And Rudy Gobert will play well. If Jackson Hayes is on the floor, then he'll be fine. He'll be in his, like, Rudy Gobert is still a pretty good defender. And honestly, he should be fine if Jared Vanderbilt's on the floor, because then you can just put him on Jared Vanderbilt. So we'll see. A lot of moving parts with Gobert and who's going to guard, how often the Timberwolves don't play with a real big man. Yeah. As for the Lakers, guarding Luka and LeBron is really tough, as I've mentioned. But it's kind of up to them hitting threes. Now, they have to be really efficient with their shots, because they don't have the size advantage like Timberwolves do. But they have the offensive advantage, because they have three guys who are kind of need your immediate attention at all times, especially like Luka and LeBron. But putting the third best defender on Austin Reeves is kind of, it's scary times these days. But we'll see how that goes. Interesting to see Rui Hachimura, Dorian Finney-Smith, and if they're hitting threes. Don't think we'll see too much of Dalton Connect, but that's also another option if you want to go with more spacing on the floor. But yeah, essentially just comes down to, is Luka scoring against Jaden McDaniels? How's he getting his points? Is he getting good points? Is he efficient from three? And same thing for LeBron. Is he efficient? They're going to get good looks. It's just all about hitting the three and making sure that you don't really, like, let the Timberwolves gain some steam by turning the ball over, because the Timberwolves will force you into making bad decisions. So I guess for the Lakers, just being disciplined, taking good shots, and try not to lose on the rebounding battle. And I think they can probably win the series. I'd probably pick the Lakers if I had to make a choice. But it should be pretty cool. Lakers, as for Lakers defense, they're going to switch everything. Should be fine. I don't think Jackson Hayes is going to get too many minutes. But the Jared Vanderbilt thing, how many minutes is he going to get? Because I do think he'd probably be your best option for the Anthony Edwards matchup. But if not, who would you move towards? And how many minutes does Gabe Vincent get? Is a thing. But I don't think the Lakers play with a real point guard. Not counting Luka. Too much, though. So, yeah, just a lot of questions. And, hey, my questions will get answered game one. But, yeah. That was a shot die today. Rough start, but we got through. Logan will be back next week. So, there won't be any more rough starts with the phone stuff. But yeah, playoffs are here. Should be a fun time. So yeah, with that being said, happy Easter. I hope you guys are watching playoffs. And we'll be back next week, same time, same location. And yeah.
Bringing more, I've had too many. This Virginia done me off already. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. Don't switch on me, I got big plans. We need to forward to the islands and get you gold, no spray tans. I need you to stop running back to your ex, he's a waste man. I wanna know how come we can never slash and stay friends. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. Cause I know what I like, I know how I wanna live my life. I don't need no advice, you're not here and we both know why. So move for me when you're extra, move for me with the pasta. I'm building up a house where they raise me, you move with me I go crazy. Don't switch on me, I got big plans. We need to forward to the islands and get you golden on spray tan. I need you to stop running back to your ex, he's a waste man. I wanna know how come we can never slash and stay friends. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. I know we can't keep it together forever. Cause you're crazy sometimes, and I only see you sometimes. Move for me when you're extra, move for me with the pasta. I'm building up a house where they raise me, you move with me I go look. Just don't switch on me, I got big plans. We need to forward to the islands and get you gold, no spray tans. I need you to stop running back to your ex, he's a waste man. I wanna know how come we can never slash and stay friends. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel. I'm blamed for real, I might just say how I feel.
Good morning.
This is the sound of E. coli splashing around in raw hamburger juice on your cutting board. And it looks like Mom just put the tomatoes and onions on there, too. Don't let E. coli...